chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. You guys ever heard the song, The 12 Days of Christmas? Been a long time. It's on my playlist. I have a Christmas playlist that I start listening to, you know, at Halloween. And usually try to stop listening to it before Valentine's Day. Sometimes I don't. But in that list is that old song, The 12 Days of Christmas. And so I've got, in honor of that today, I have a message with 12 points. And so I just wanted you to be excited about that. No, in all seriousness, studying the accounts in Scripture from Luke chapter 1 and 2 and Matthew chapter 1, I was studying about that, and I was thinking about what our response ought to be. And so many times I've thought about that from the wise men who came, the magi who come, and they worship Jesus. But I started trying to look through all of those passages and just looking at the different responses that the birth of Jesus brought about in people. And I really did identify 12 of those, and I want to share them with you today, however long it takes, today, this afternoon, next week, whatever. But I think it's important that we not just know that Jesus was born. Amen. We have to believe that he was born. Amen. And we have to believe that the one who came is the one the Scriptures tell us about, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then it's not just enough to know those things. There's a response that it ought to bring about in our lives. Amen. We have to make a personal decision about how we're going to respond to the birth of Jesus. So if you're able, let's stand together. We're going to pray together one more time, and then we're going to begin. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. And I want to try to share with you 12 responses to Christmas. And don't worry, I'm not going to sing. Before we read, Brother Mike, would you please lead us in a word of prayer? Amen. While you're still standing, Luke chapter 1, verse 1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Amen. Please be seated. As we think about responding to Christmas, I can't help but, as Luke introduces his gospel, he starts with this issue of, number one, we need to believe. Faith is the most important thing, because we can't know God without believing in him. In order to have a relationship with God, you have to believe. In order to have eternal life, you have to have faith. You have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it starts with belief. And he says, I'm taking in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. And I love how he sets it all up. He says, God's put this on my heart. We know that Luke was inspired by the Spirit of God. It's not just like he woke up one day and thought he'd do this. We know that he was inspired. He was led by the Spirit of God, moved by the Holy Ghost to do this. But he says, I want to tell you about the things, and I want to set it in order, the things that are most surely believed among us. And it's like this. A lot of people kind of believe, but they're on the periphery. There are a lot of people who believe, but it's kind of at a distance. They're like, yeah, I believe in God, or yeah, I believe in Jesus. I know there was a man, whatever. But we're talking about people who are absolutely certain about the things that we believe. Our faith is absolute in Jesus, and that's the way we need to believe. We have to believe. Now, I'm going to bounce around a lot. So if you've got Matthew, Luke chapter 1, you also need to be in Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to share a lot of verses with you this morning, so buckle up. And I hope you have a familiarity. The message today is going to be a little different. So I hope you have some familiarity with the text that we're looking at. But you might remember that God sent an angel to a man named Zacharias, who was a priest. He was serving in the temple. It was his turn to be the one in charge of burning the incense. And while he was there, the angel came and visited him. You guys remember that? Amen. All right. So you can read about it. It's all here, Luke 1, basically from verse 5 all the way down to verse 25. But I want you to look at this in verse 17, Luke 1, 17. The angel is already telling him about what's going to happen, about the birth of John the Baptist. And he's talking about John. He says he shall go before him, God, in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of their fathers to the children and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. What a nice thing to say about his wife. I am old, and well, she's no spring chicken either, right? She's well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their seasons. I just want to tell you, you need to believe the Bible. Amen. And when God's word comes, you ought to believe it. Even when it's unbelievable. Amen. Things like a virgin being with child. That's unbelievable. But that's what we're talking about believing. And he doesn't believe. Notice what he says. Whereby shall I know this? Basically, Zacharias doesn't have faith in his heart. Gabriel can see that he doesn't have faith in his heart. And his question is, prove it to me. How am I going to know it? I'm going to need you to prove it to me. And we know that he doesn't have faith. And so, to, I'm sure, the great joy of Elizabeth, he can't talk for the next 9 months. I mean, he did call her an old woman, didn't he? By the way, she probably wasn't even all that old, right? Not as old as we would think, well stricken in years. That changes with age, doesn't it, Brother Tom? When I was a kid, I remember when my dad turned 40 and everybody got in black balloons. And it was like the end of the world. Lordy, lordy, look who's 40. Over the hill. And when I was a kid and my dad turned 40, I thought 40 was old. I no longer think 40's old. Amen? Amen? It's not. That's right. So here he is. And he is struggling with his belief. Now I want you to fast forward down to, let's start at verse 29. Verse 29, now an angel has been sent by God to somebody else, a young woman named Mary. The angel came into her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said unto her, answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Amen. Now, I want you to get this. Their answers sound similar, don't they? When you just read over it, Zacharias says, Whereby shall I know this? And Mary says, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? But they are very different responses. And more importantly, what's in their heart is very different. Okay, Gabriel lets us know Zacharias didn't believe. He says, How will I know this is true? And Mary says, How will this be? In other words, even in her answer, she's anticipating that it's going to happen. She just wants to know how it's going to happen. Amen. You guys see it? Amen. Listen, the point is that Zacharias didn't believe, but Mary did. And so then, because of her faith, He answers the question. This is how it's going to happen. The Spirit of God's going to come on you, and you're going to conceive of the Holy Ghost. The child that you're going to bear, the child that you're going to carry, is going to be the Son of the Highest. Amen. And then he gives her some more help. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, which was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Mary believed, and because she believed the word, then God gave her more to believe in. Amen. Do you guys see that? Amen. Listen, faith continues to grow. When you read the Word of God and you believe the Word of God, God does something amazing. He'll show you more truth from the Word of God that will bolster your faith. Amen. Faith brings about more faith. Amen. And we need our faith to grow, don't we? Right. Our faith is, it starts out very tiny, like a grain of mustard seed, but God wants it to grow in our hearts. He wants the roots of that faith to go down deep. He wants it to bring up, to spring up and bear much fruit. And it all starts with believing the Word of God. Look at Matthew chapter 2, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 2, look at verse 2. Now we know Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. In the days of Herod the king, and the wise men come from the east, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Amen. These wise men believed. All they saw was a star. We have no record in the scriptures even what the star was all about, how they knew about it, where it came from. The best understanding that anybody I've ever read has is that these are remnants of when Daniel was in Babylon and Persia in those days, and the wisdom of Daniel that was given from God to Daniel was written down, kept, and passed on through the generations. That's the only reasonable explanation I've ever come to, but those people had wisdom to know that the King of the Jews was born, and they believed it. Amen. And they believed it enough to leave their home and travel. Amen. To come, probably months of traveling to get there to worship the newborn king. They believed. They believed. And even after everything happened and they went in and worshiped Jesus, you remember down at verse 12, it says, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. When God revealed things to them, when God showed them truths, they believed. Amen. They believed. I don't know about you. I know some of you have probably never struggled with doubt. But I have. I have struggled with doubts. Not about whether God's able to save me, but whether I got my part right. I've struggled with doubts about whether God would answer a prayer or not. I've struggled with doubts about all kinds of things. When I see what's going on in the world today, it causes doubts. I have had times in my life where my faith was very, very weak. And I'm just trying to tell you today that we can believe God. Amen. And we must believe God. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Amen. So we have to believe. Augustine of Hippo said this a long, long time ago. He said, faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe. Amen. And maybe that doesn't seem too profound to you, but this is it. Faith is believing what I can't see. Amen. Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And that means that one day I'll see what I believe. Amen. I'm going to see him. And it all starts with faith. Amen. It all starts with faith. It all starts with trusting in him. So believe. That's number one. Number two is to know. Go back to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. For as much as many have taken into hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Our belief is going to lead to our knowing. This knowing is very akin to what we would call assurance. God doesn't want us to just believe something blindly. He gives us evidence, and he wants us to know certainly. Amen. Our faith, as it grows, as it gets stronger, is going to bring us to a place of knowing, of having an assurance. John 17:3, Jesus says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." You know what God wants us to know? He wants us to know him. Amen. I mean, he is truth. Don't you want to know the truth? Amen. Have you ever been deceived by a lie? Okay, let's do this. How many of you have watched a video on the internet the last year or two? Anybody? Just please indulge me. Raise your hand if you've seen a video on the internet. Okay, you know how many of those are fake? And the fake is getting better and better. They call it deep fake now, but deep fake used to be something that was really hard to do. It's getting easier and easier and easier. And there are videos on the internet that show the craziest stuff in the world, and people believe it and they share it. Amen. Right? Amen. There are lies everywhere. There are lies in places there shouldn't be lies. Amen. Did you know that when your kids go to school and they open up a textbook that it has lies in it? Amen. Yeah, it teaches them that everything made nothing. I mean, nothing made everything. I said that backwards. Nothing created everything. That's a lie. Amen. Is it not a lie? Amen. Listen, the universe didn't create itself. Amen. The only big bang that happened is in the beginning, God said. Amen. There are all kinds of lies everywhere, and I'm just trying to tell you that it's so good to read the truth and to believe the truth. Amen. And to know the truth. And we need to know the truth. God wants us to know him. In verse 4, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things. So what does he do? Well, immediately he moves from this, and he kind of gives this introduction to his letter, and he says, listen, I set all these things in order. God taught me these things. I learned these things, and I want everybody to know certainly. Everybody, it's Theophilus, which literally means it's somebody who loves God. A friend of God, or somebody who loves God. Now, I think Theophilus might have been an actual human being, a person, but I also think there's a play on words there. For anybody who loves God, you need to believe him, and you need to know the certainty of the things that you believe. And so he starts out with this account of Zacharias and how God came to him and how he was visited by the angel, and how his wife, who was too old to have babies, had a baby named John, and how John prepared the way for Jesus. And he starts walking through the narrative, through the account. And I just want you to get this. It all starts with people who were there, who knew, who saw. They were eyewitnesses. They were eyewitnesses. The gospel is grounded in eyewitness testimony. These records were written within the lifetime of those eyewitnesses. So Luke was written probably around 60 to 62 AD. So we're talking about within 30 years of Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, this letter was penned. So the people that Luke talked to, yes, he was inspired by the Spirit of God, but he also knew and talked to these people. They walked together. They talked together. They studied together. They learned together. Like, he knew them. And he gave record of what they saw and what they lived. Eyewitness testimony. I want you to think about this. This account of Jesus' life, Luke in particular, written about 60 AD. Have you any of you ever heard of a guy named Alexander the Great? Ever heard of him? Do you believe he existed? Yeah. Never questioned it, have you? You know, the biographies of Alexander the Great were written about 400 years after he died. Do you know we have just a few copies of those records? Well, we have thousands of manuscripts, about 6,000 manuscripts that testify to the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's only a handful of those that talk about Alexander the Great. They're written 400 years later, and we have no trouble believing in Alexander the Great. And so many people question whether Jesus even existed or not. It's laughable. So we have this evidence, and I want you to see that it's evidence. It's not blind faith. It's faith in the evidence that God showed us. Okay? Why is that important? Well, what did Mary see? Listen, she believed the message of the angel, and what did he do? He gave her evidence. He said, your cousin Mary, your close relative Mary, is too old to have babies, and she's going to have a baby. Amen. And you know what Mary did? She got up and she went and saw for herself the evidence. So look at the evidence. He says these things, all things from the very first, I want to give you from order. I want you to know the certainty of those things, and they're believed among us. They were widely believed. There were many people who believed these things by the time Luke wrote his account. The accounts of the Gospels were widely known. There was a Roman historian named Tacitus, and he hated Christians. And I want you to listen to what he said. Christus, Christ, from whom the name had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hand of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate, and a most mischievous superstition, thus checked for the moment, again broke out not only in Judea, the first source of the evil, but even in Rome. Tacitus hated Christians, but he gives record of exactly what happened. Pontius Pilate killed Jesus. And we thought that we'd done away with it. But then it sprung up again in Judea, and it's even in Rome now. And what do we know about that? God raised up a man named Paul. Amen. He started out as Saul of Tarsus, but God raised him up. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus and was never the same. And he went everywhere preaching the gospel all the way to Rome, where he took the gospel. And by the way, when he got there were already Christians there. Already followers of Jesus there. I want you to get this. You can know, and we should know. And how do we know? Bounce back over to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 5. So the wise men show up. They want to worship the king. Herod, he has to get the chief priests and scribes together to figure out where Messiah is supposed to be born. And in verse 5 it says, they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. If you want to know something, you know where you find it? In the Bible. You find it in the Word of God. If you want to know truth, you have to look in the Word of God. Now, I'm thankful for godly men who teach the Bible. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for men who have taught me. I'm thankful for men. I listen to podcasts and watch videos like I know a lot of you do. And there are a lot of great teachers and preachers out there that you can listen to. And I'm thankful for that. I really am. Amen. I think you need to be careful who you listen to, because there are a lot of false teachers too. But I'm thankful for godly, biblical teachers. I am. But listen, friends, there is nothing that will teach you more than praying and studying the Word of God on your own. God is going to get truth into your heart in a way that nobody else can when you study the Scriptures for yourselves. How did they know where Messiah would be born? How did they know it? Well, they had to look in the Scriptures. And when they looked in the Scriptures, they could know the truth, and that's what we need to do. So we need to respond by believing. We need to respond by knowing. And number three, we need to respond by praying. Amen. We need to respond by praying. Now, it's in the account, not necessarily a direct response to the birth of Jesus, but I want you to see that praying is woven into this this biblical account. So back in Luke chapter 1 and verse 8, he's telling us about Zacharias. Elizabeth was his wife, and he was a priest, and it says in verse 8, it came to pass while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. When the angel Gabriel tells Zacharias, your prayer is answered, and he tells him that Elizabeth's going to have a child, he didn't believe in his heart. Is that true? He said he didn't believe. And yet, he's an old man, and we don't know how many times he's prayed this, but apparently, even now, he's burning incense and praying. Aren't you so thankful that God is so gracious that even when our faith is weak, Even when our faith is small, he will still bless when we pray. It's almost, you almost get the idea. I don't know. I don't know how many times he'd prayed. I don't know how long he'd prayed. And I don't even know that I could prove to you 100% sure that he was praying at this moment. I just know that he had prayed. Amen. And I get the sense that he prayed, even to the point when he's so old he doesn't believe it can possibly happen. It's like he's still repeating the prayer because he's done it so long. Amen. Have you ever done that? I mean, just keep praying something and praying something and praying something, and now it's almost out of habit, more than out of a desperate plea to God, even when you don't even think it's possible. God is so good and so merciful and so gracious, he'll still answer our prayers, even when our faith is almost non-existent. What a gracious Savior. Amen. I'm going to tell you, the people were outside praying, he's inside praying, and as a direct result of his praying, God does something amazing. He does the impossible. His wife, Elizabeth, who's too old to have babies, has a baby. That's what our God can do. He can do the impossible. Can't he? Okay, just checking. Luke chapter 2, verse 37. I know I'm all over the place this morning. I knew I was going to be, and I was afraid it would be confusing. So if you're confused, I apologize. If you're not confused, I'm a little concerned about how your brain works. Pray. After Jesus was born, after he was dedicated to the temple, all those things happened. We read an account about a couple of people. One is Simeon, and we'll talk about him in a minute. And there was another one named Anna. And in verse 36, it says, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity and was a widow of about 84 years, so 84 years, which departed not from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Amen. This woman faithfully served God, ministered in and around the temple for 84 years. She served and ministered to God. And how did she do that? With fastings and prayers. Amen. And you know what was a result of her faithfulness in praying and fasting? She got to see the Lord Jesus. Amen. God. Amen. In human flesh. Amen. She got to, I know that Simeon took the child in his hands. I don't know that it says exactly that she took the child in her hands. I just know this, that she got to see Jesus. She got to rejoice at his birth, and it's because she faithfully fasted and prayed. I just want to tell you that when you look at how God blessed those who were faithful to pray, it ought to inspire us to pray more. Now, we're about to come to the end of the year. I'm not sure if you knew that or not, but is that hard for you to believe? The year of our Lord 2026 starts on Thursday, this week, this Thursday. That's crazy to me. I look back at the year and I'm like, what happened? But I think you ought to look back at the year. Amen. And I think one of the things you ought to take inventory of is how, when you think about how your walk with the Lord was, how was your prayer life in 2025? Amen. Did you pray in 2025? Did you pray consistently in 2025? Did you pray faithfully in 2025? Did you pray daily? Did you pray constantly? And I just know that some of you have been saved a long time, you can look back over the years and there were times that your prayer life was really, really good. And there have been times that your prayer life has probably not been that good. Amen. And as we get into this new year, we ought to pray more than we ever have before. Amen. We ought to pray more faithfully than we ever have before. We ought to pray more biblically than we ever have before. And we ought to pray in a way that somebody who was desperate to see their Savior would pray. Amen. Because that's how Anna prayed. Amen. She prayed as somebody who was desperate to see God and was faithful to serve him. So believe and know and pray. Now I want to tell you this. Number 4, fear not. Fear not. And I'm not going to take the time to go to all of the accounts because it's basically the same every time. It's a weird thing. When angels appear out of nowhere, people get afraid. It's just weird, right? So when I hear stories like those videos I told you about on the internet and somebody's talking about seeing angels or different things and they had no fear, I'm like, nah, you didn't see an angel. Every time in the Bible when somebody sees an angel, they're afraid. Amen. And you know what the angel has to say to them every time? Fear not. It's in Luke 1:13, Luke 1:30, Matthew 1:20, Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. Angel shows up and the people are afraid and the angel says, fear not. Amen. So I want to tell you that God doesn't want you to be afraid. Amen. Why? Because I've got good news for you. You get that? Every time they show up and they're like, don't be afraid because I'm here to give you good news. And the good news means that we don't have to be afraid of any bad news. Okay, is there bad news in the world? Bad news. Bad news. Elizabeth couldn't have a baby until she was really, really old. That was bad news. She was barren. That was hard. But I got good news. Now she's going to have a baby. Right? Bad news. God's been silent for almost 400 years. When Malachi ends, nobody hears from God. There's no new revelation from God for 400 years. Bad news. It's dark. The people of Israel have turned away from God. They are not serving him with all their heart. They're serving him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. It's bad news, a lot of bad news. Rome's in control. Rome is the ruling power over them. A lot of bad news. But then the angel shows up and says, I got good news. I got good news. And so I'm just trying to tell you, the world is pretty messed up. It's still a dark place. There's a lot of trouble in the world. There's a lot of trouble in our country. There's a lot of trouble in our community. There's a lot of trouble in our families. There's a lot of trouble all kinds of places, but God comes with good news, so don't be afraid. Fear not. So number one, believe. Number two, know. Number three, pray. Number four, fear not. And number five, fear. So there's a reason to not be afraid, but there's also a reason to be afraid. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 65. When John the Baptist is born, people want to name him Zacharias, and she says, no, his name's going to be John. And they're like, nobody in your family's named John. You have to give him a family name. You can't name him John. And they go to Zacharias and say, what do you say? And he gets a writing tablet and says, his name is John. Amen. His name is John. And immediately his mouth is open. And what does he do? He praises God. Amen. He spake and praised God. And verse 65 says, and fear came on all that dwelt around about them, and all these things were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. You don't need to be afraid in the sense of being afraid of the world or the devil or your circumstances, but we do need to have reverent fear of God. Amen. We have to have reverence. We have to be in awe, a fearful awe of who he is and how powerful he is. God is doing amazing things, and you ought to stand back and say, our God is an awesome God. Amen. That kind of fear. So don't be afraid, but fear God. Reverence God. Be in awe of God. And I want to tell you, friends, he's bigger than you think he is. Amen. He's more powerful than you think he is. And I think that you and I would do well to really study the scriptures about how awesome God is. And to have a reverent fear of him, because I don't think we do. I don't think we honor him like we should. I don't think we are as reverent before him as we should be. I think we get really comfortable and flippant in the way that we talk to and about our God. We ought to be serious. Some people in the Bible, even in the New Testament, had to learn the hard way in the way that they approach God. And we ought to be careful too. So number four is fear not. Number five is fear. And number six, and we'll end with this one this morning. Number six is consider. Look at Luke 1:29. Mary was faithful. She was pure. She was faithful. She was pure. She had the grace of God in her life. That's what highly favored means. God's grace was on her. And she was contemplative. She was a woman who would think about things. It says in verse 29, when she saw him, the angel, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She pondered it. She thought about it. She considered it. She thought about the things that God had shown to her. If you go on in chapter 2 and verse 18, all the people that heard what was going on wondered at those things that were told them by the shepherd. So all the people who heard what was going on wondered. They pondered. They considered those things. And then look down at Luke chapter 2, verse 37. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Here's one of the things I think we're really prone to do in American Christianity, just as people. We're in such a hurry for the next thing, we don't think about this thing. Like, I can already tell you, some of you can feel it. You got this internal clock in your mind. You're like, it's almost time for him to be done, and I'm wondering where we're going to go eat lunch. Like, what are we going to have? What am I going to order today? You know? Or you got a pot roast on at home, and you're like, I hope it's not getting dried out. I don't know. But we're always thinking about the next thing. Even in our studies. Hey, we don't even think about what we read today because I got to move on and read the next thing tomorrow. I can't think about and consider what God showed me in the Sunday school lesson today because I got to get ready for the Sunday school lesson for next week. And I just want to tell you, you need to slow down. Amen. And think about the things that God has shown you today. Amen. Consider it. Amen. Ponder it. Amen. Like consider these things in your mind. Think about what God showed you because he's trying to tell you something. And so many times people in the world today are like, I just wish God would show me something. I wish he would tell me. And he's like, I've been telling you. Amen. Amen. You're not listening. Right. So stop. Slow down. Amen. Think about it. Meditate on it. Amen. Ponder these things in your heart. Because I believe this. I'm just crazy enough to believe that every time I open my Bible, God wants to tell me something. Amen. I'm crazy enough to believe that every time I stand up here to preach, I've studied this out, and I get it. It's kind of been here and there. It's like one of those popcorn sermons. It's just all over the place. And some of you are like, I don't even know. He just lost me today. But I'm just crazy enough to believe that for whatever reason, the way that God put this together in my heart was going to be what somebody needed today. Amen. That something that's been said has resonated with you or convicted you or encouraged you. And hopefully all of those things, right? So think about the truth. Think about your faith. Think about your prayer life. Think about not being afraid of things that maybe you're afraid of today. And think about fearing God in the way the Bible would have you to have a reverent fear and awe of him and worship him. Amen. Consider. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. Will you stand with me? The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. The Virgin Mary was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And when he was born, she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And they called his name Jesus because he came to save his people from their sins. I just want you to see today, friends, that when we look at this story, when we read the scriptures, when we hear about Jesus and how he came to save us, that we should respond. And it starts with responding in faith. If you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, I pray you'll do that today. Friend, there is no hope of eternal life without Jesus. He is the only way. And his God himself becoming a man and dying for our sins and rising again, that is the only way anybody could be saved. It's the way it had to be done. And it was done. And you can believe it today. So trust in him with all your heart. And if you have trusted in him, I want to encourage you to follow him. Follow him like never before. as we finish up this year and start a new year, that you would trust in Jesus and give your life to him completely. If he's convicting your heart, you come.